Hello, and welcome to Anime Audio Commentary. Today I'll be commenting on episode 6 of My Hero Academia. If you'd like to watch along, then start watching now. So last we left off, Midoriya faced his first sort of real trial at UA. You know, essentially, his homeroom teacher, Eraserhead, was, you know, kind of setting him up to fail here. And basically, Midoriya, using his ingenuity, managed to sort of get around the requirements of the exam. You know, he managed to use his power without completely destroying his arm. You know, yeah, he shattered a finger, but he proved that even though his powers are ultimately self-destructive, he's still capable of fighting and not crippling himself outright. So now we're sort of experiencing the fallout of Midoriya using his powers again. So yeah, he threw the ball and rather impressed everybody, but you know, this is a bit of a, maybe watershed moment isn't the right term, but this is definitely something interesting here. You know, Bakugo, up until this point, had been under the impression that he was entirely quirkless. And indeed, up until recently, that was true. However, you know, Bakugo might be overreacting just a little bit. Now, it's interesting that Eraserhead was seemingly prepared for such an eventuality. You know, he seems like the type of superhero who doesn't really suffer people too much, you know? I mean, obviously his quirk is incredible that he is able to erase somebody else's quirk, but you know, that scarf is interesting, and that's sort of an aspect that hasn't really been explored yet, you know, the sort of the secondary industries that surround the superhero industry, because, you know, if there are people who are superheroes, then surely there have to be people who make costumes and other secondary things to support them. So, you know, it's pretty telling that just this little demonstration of having a power is something that incenses Bakugo so much. Now, I do find it interesting that Midoriya did ultimately do so poorly at all the other tests. You know, one has to wonder, what was all that training for if, you know, all these other people are better than him? I don't know. Maybe it's just like a little plot hole. Maybe it's something that doesn't really matter. Who knows? But it's something that I find just a little bit odd thinking about it now. So unfortunately, despite everything, Midoriya was ultimately in last place. So that means, you know, yes, you got into UA, but it was nice while it lasted. You made it half a day. You know, perhaps it's predictable, perhaps it's kind of silly, but Eraserhead was lying the whole time, you know? It was just something to sort of fool everybody into working better, you know? I guess the idea being that people work better under pressure. You know, I've got some issue with that approach to teaching, you know, maybe throwing everybody into the deep end on the first day isn't necessarily good, but yeah. It's rather unfortunate that Midoriya managed to bust his finger on the first day, you know? Because, you know, it's certainly not viable for him to continue smashing fingers and limbs indefinitely. Now, I guess it only makes sense that All Might and Eraserhead here are at odds in terms of their teaching philosophy. That said, you know, it seems like Eraserhead's threat wasn't necessarily something people could write off as a bluff, considering that he had expelled a class full of freshmen before. You know, a whole class? That's rather excessive, I would think. Unfortunately for All Might, you know, he's not very good at bluffing, seeing as how Eraserhead is sort of determined that All Might's playing, like, a little bit of favorites already. I mean, All Might can't really help it, seeing as how Midoriya is his successor, you know, he has sort of a vested interest in making sure his power is used well. I don't know, there's lots of internal politics and things like that. It's rather unfortunate, but I guess it's sort of just the way the world works. So, it's rather unfortunate that, though Recovery Girl can heal people, it's not actually that she's healing people so much as she's stimulating their body to heal itself. So, you know, if it wasn't bad enough that Midoriya was breaking his bones, you know, he's really just robbing himself in the future to pay his debts now. I mean, I've never broken a bone before, but I imagine it's not a very fun experience, and to do so repeatedly in the same place or general area, no less, I'd imagine that would cause lasting damage eventually. So I feel kind of bad for Midoriya. You know, it's not something that gets translated really well into English, but Midoriya's sort of nickname, Deku, like, that's an insult, but, you know, if Ochako likes it, you know, if a girl likes it and tells him to his face that she likes it, then, you know, why not adopt it? That seems kind of like a spineless thing to me, you know, it doesn't change the meaning of it just because somebody likes it. At the very least, you know, the three of them, Ochako, Midoriya, and Ida, are sort of forming a small friendship, you know, it's like a group, I guess, you know, the start of a group. So as with any other school, they have to learn, you know, the traditional subjects. And honestly, it seems a bit weird to me that there would be professional superheroes teaching things like English or, you know, working in the cafeteria. You know, I guess there's a hero for every problem, but I don't know. You know, on the one hand, it seems weird to me, but on the other hand, I guess if superheroes are so common, then, you know, the heroism aspect would get kind of diluted, you know? Now, it's interesting that All Might is sort of breaking out like a vintage costume for him to teach this class, and everybody sort of knows that, oh, this is his Silver Age costume. But it's also interesting that he's a teacher at all, you know, that's like, it's something I had never really considered watching before or reading the manga before, but, you know, All Might is one of, if not the biggest celebrities on the planet, and for him to just sort of be, you know, a glorified high school teacher, I feel like that's a real step down, all things considered, in terms of prestige. So everybody has their own costume now. And this is an interesting aspect, I think, that, you know, as a superhero, your image is fairly important given the commercial industry that's sort of sprung up around it. So if you have, like, kind of a wonky costume, I feel like it would hinder your career. I suppose some of the issue is that the students themselves presumably had a hand in designing their own costumes. You know, because, you know, it's not like if you're designing your own costume, you know, you're not exactly a professional designer. I mean, yeah, Midori is already talking about it, how they basically sort of sent in the specifications and it was outsourced to a different company. Now, this is also interesting, you know, we're learning a little bit about the bureaucracy, too, because if you have a quirk, you have to register it, you know, what it is, what it does. But it's interesting that there's also allowances for it to change, given that, you know, even if your quirk doesn't change over time, your understanding of what it actually is or does can change over time. So I guess that's convenient in a sense, but Midori can just say, like, oh, you know, I don't actually lack a quirk. I've got one, but it's, you know, it's kind of simple, just, you know, your average super strength. I mean, I feel like if nothing else, he could sort of play it off as something he never noticed before because it was so weak. You know, it states that there's this little aspect of plausible deniability. So it is nice that his mom is sort of really getting on board with this whole idea. And, you know, it's not like she had really gone out of her way to sort of cut down his dreams, but seeing as how that they're now within reach, she's really going all in on it. Now, I have to say, all that stuff I was saying about, you know, a wonky costume hampering your career, I feel like Midoriya is a pretty good example of that, because, like, I don't know. It could be worse, but it doesn't seem particularly heroic to me. I mean, obviously, he means for his outfit to sort of take bits from All Might's silhouette, but it really just makes him look like a rabbit. So it's interesting that All Might is sort of teaching a practical lesson here. Not that he's not capable of something like that, but I don't know. I guess it shows that he's actually taking this teaching gig somewhat seriously, that seeing as how a lot of crime takes place indoors, you have to be used to dealing with crime indoors. And what's more than that, you know, they're working with actual flesh and blood here, you know. It's not like they can just go wild like they could on the robots, you know. You have to take into account that you could injure somebody pretty badly, and no doubt that would reflect poorly on your academic career, I'd imagine. So here we go. They're sort of playing, like, effectively a game of capture the flag here. You know, the villains are doing something, and the heroes have to stop them. If the heroes meet these two goals, you know, they win, otherwise the villains do. So it's somewhat asymmetrical, you know, time is on the villain's side here, but I guess that's kind of how life works, too, you know. If villains are just doing their own thing and the heroes don't show up promptly to stop them, then bad things will happen. Man, so it really begins early. Poor Midoriya just getting stuck with a girl who he already seems to particularly like. And if that weren't bad enough, he's immediately being pitted up against somebody who's sort of a friend, and then Bakugo. Naturally, Bakugo has already demonstrated that he's got it out for Midoriya, and if they actually have, like, the opportunity to start beating on each other, he's definitely not going to hold back, even if, you know, you're supposed to, by mandate of the teacher. I feel like this is sort of a failing on All Might's part here. You know, maybe you should have, like, vetoed these results, or maybe just done something to affect the outcome here. You know, maybe just, like, avoid something that you know is likely going to result in trouble. I mean, All Might was there at Eraserhead's lesson. He saw Bakugo lashing out. I mean, maybe he's under the impression that if things start going wrong, he can step in and no problem, but I don't know. I'm of the opinion that it's better to avoid a problem before it exists, you know, preventative maintenance and all that. So this is an interesting aspect of Bakugo's character in that the big thing he seems to be concerned about is having been lied to, as if Midoriya was sort of hiding his quirk all these years to sort of laugh behind his back. And, you know, that just kind of reeks of insecurity. I don't know, we don't know a whole lot about it at this point, you know, the feelings involved. At this point, we just know that Bakugo's kind of a jerk. You know, it is really unfortunate that somebody saddled with such strength and confidence and ambition is also a tremendous jerk. It's not really something that Midoriya is expounding upon right now, but if things were different, if Bakugo maybe had a bit more perspective or was a little less self-focused, you know, he could truly be a great hero, as indeed he intends to be anyways. So, if it weren't bad enough that Midoriya and Bakugo are going to end up clashing here, all the other students are watching. You know, this sort of reeks of like a class presentation to me. And personally, you know, I'm no public speaker. I hated doing that stuff in high school. I can't imagine like, trying to display practical skills in front of a class like this. So at the very least, Midoriya is cognizant that he can't use his quirk again, you know? Because never mind the fact that he would destroy his arm again, you know, he's justifiably worried that he could kill somebody. And frankly, you know, busting your arm is bad enough, but if you kill somebody to boot, that's definitely no good. And if nothing else, good on Midoriya for having the reflexes to dodge that and protect Ochako at the same time. Wow, so that's a very telling phrase from All Might. You know, Bakugo is playing the part. He's acting as a true villain would. You know, sometimes foreshadowing is fairly subtle. So this right here, I think this is a sort of crowning moment for Midoriya. Bakugo reaches out to attack him, Midoriya grabs his arm and throws him. And basically, the reason why this all went down like it did is because Midoriya knew what he was going to do. You know, he's seen him in action before, he's studied him, and so he's prepared. And, you know, quirk or not, he still managed to mount an effective counterattack here. So this is the real good stuff here. Even if Midoriya doesn't have the strength to fight head-on, he has the brains to come up with a counter-stratagem regardless. Man, you know, they really are laying it on thick about this sort of budding relationship between Midoriya and Ochako. I mean, granted, it's all hinting at this point, but man. Alright, well that's it for this episode. If you've enjoyed it, then by all means, tune in for the next one. See you, Space Cowboy.